It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy! Hello, hello! Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is June 22nd, 2022. So it is 22-6-22, if you use dates like a European-type person, or it's 6-22-2022 in the U.S., which is fun to write down. At least it's been for me. Hello, hello to all in comm, hanging out, having fun. Tobe and Claudio M, X1, SMJ's around, and Utsuho, and hello, hello, welcome. I hope all are doing well. And Jeff. So hello. Welcome, everyone. A lot of news today. A lot of some death. A few death. A lot of sadness. And a couple other things. So lots of news. Let's see. It seems like our China contingent continues to grow. And so I'm not sure if this is in comm, the alternate Chinese comm, or if there's a Chinese room in comm now, in regular comm now, I'm not sure. Tobe is saying, a big welcome to Harold De Bruin. So, welcome, welcome to you. Thanks for being here. Okay, and it is in Chinese comm, Chinese language comm, which is QQ comm, similar to the chat program. Something that was big at least 10 or 15 years ago when I played around with I had a lot more coworkers in China is there were several different popular messaging and web apps, but it was like you got an email, your email account, you basically had a whole portal, so you'd sign up for this email account, but then like the searching, the web search, the email, like online ordering, everything was all bundled up, so it was kind of like you had a little virtual desktop with this application, and it was very cool. Anyway, and Meta Array is the answer. Opening up a can of unsweetened sparkling water with a hint of lime. It's a it's not tea because I've been having trouble sleeping, and I think it's all the caffeine. All right. Before Claudio has to go to work, wanted to mention a quick Miami story. That's right, Miami. What? What happened in Florida? Well, passenger jet bursts into flame after hard landing in Miami. A passenger jet with 126 people on board burst into flames when its landing gear collapsed after a touchdown at Miami International Airport on Tuesday. Three people suffered minor injuries. The accident involving a McDonnell Douglas MD, that's Mike Delta 80 aircraft, operating as Red Air Flight 203 from the Dominican Republic, occurred around 6 p.m. local time, the Federal Aviation Administration said in an emailed statement. The fire was extinguished and three people were transported to area hospitals for treatment. Photos and a video on social media showed flames and black smoke rising from the jet as it skidded to a halt. The United States National Transportation Safety Board, commonly called the NTSB, said on Twitter that it was sending a team of investigators to the scene following a gear collapse and runway excursion. Red Air, based in the Dominican Republic, only started flying last year. The carrier has four MD-80, that's my MD, like the letters, Mike Delta 80 jets, including the one that crashed, and employs more than 50 people. The plane involved in the accident was almost 32 years old, according to Planespotters.net. It spent up until 2015 flying for American Airlines. So, that is what's going on there in Miami. Just was a big, hello, what do you know? And welcome, Harold. Wait, where's Harold? I don't see Harold in chat. Anyway, wherever you are, Harold, welcome, welcome. And shout out to LD Beth for all their work in helping get our Chinese friends into comm and SDF and all of that. It's very cool. Claudium saw the news while he was at the gym. All right. Well, oh, there you are, Harold De Bruin. Well, thank you. lurking in SDF at EU, and that's cool. Stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee. It is a super fun time. All right, so now it's time to start the show the way we almost always start, and that's
world news.
That's right. And of course, when we're talking about world news, that also means we're talking about death and destruction and things that are just really sad. And we start in Afghanistan, where at least 1,000 people have been killed and over 1,500 people are expected to be injured. A powerful earthquake killed at least 1,000 people, injured at least 1,500 in eastern Afghanistan, an official of the ruling Taliban told the BBC. The Taliban appealed for international help for the rescue efforts as pictures showed landslides and ruined mud-built homes in the province of Paktika. The quake struck shortly after 1:30, which is 2100 GMT Tuesday, as people were asleep. Hundreds of houses were destroyed by the magnitude 6.1 event, which occurred at a depth of 51 kilometers. It's the deadliest earthquake to strike Afghanistan in 2 decades, and a major challenge for the Taliban, the Islamist movement, which regained power last year after the Western-backed government collapsed. Hey, welcome, Raistan. Thanks for tuning in. Croquettes. There's a guy that I work with, and his side hustle his family has is making various cool treats from Brazil. And there's some croquettes he makes. They're so good. All right, let's keep it moving. Sorry, I get sidetracked in comms sometimes. The earthquake struck about 44 kilometers from the city of Khost, and tremors were felt as far away as in Pakistan and India. Witnesses reported feeling the quake in both Kabul and Islamabad, the capital of Pakistan. Taliban officials asked the UN to support them in terms of assessing the needs and responding to the affected. The UK's special representative to Afghanistan, Nigel Casey, said the UK was in touch with the UN and was ready to contribute to the international response. Earthquakes tend to cause significant damage in Afghanistan, where dwellings in many rural areas are unstable or poorly built. Locals described horrific scenes of death and destruction in the aftermath. "The kids and I screamed," said Fatima. "One of our rooms was destroyed. Our neighbors screamed, and we saw everyone's rooms. It destroyed the houses of our neighbors. When we arrived, there were many dead and wounded. They sent us to the hospital. I saw many dead bodies." Most of the casualties so far have been in Gayan and Barmal districts in Paktika, a local doctor told the BBC. Local media site Idalats Eros reported a whole village in Gayan had been destroyed. No immediate reports of casualties or significant damage in Pakistan, though, according to BBC Urdu. All right, so that's what's going on there in Afghanistan. Real tragedy. Hopefully they're able to get help the people. The Taliban has been imposing its religious law on the land for a while, and so at the cost of modernization. So I hope that they can be helped, but also I hope that they're helped in preventing this damage again in the future. Now for more sad news. Somalia, the worst humanitarian crisis we've ever seen. Children are starving to death before our eyes, says aid worker, as G7 leaders warned only massive and urgent funding will avert famine. Too bad we spent all our money on bombs. Only a massive and immediate scaling up of funds and humanitarian relief can save Somalia from famine, a UN spokesperson has warned, as aid workers report children starving to death before our eyes amid rapidly escalating levels of malnutrition. In a message to G7 leaders, who are meeting from Sunday in Germany, Michael Dunford, the World Food Program's regional director for East Africa, said governments had to donate urgently and generously if there was to be any hope of avoiding catastrophe in the Horn of Africa. "We need money, and we need it now," said Dunford. "We will be able to avert a famine in Somalia unless there's a massive scaling up from right now. It won't be possible, quite frankly. The only way at this point is if there is a massive investment in humanitarian relief, and all the stakeholders, all the partners come together to try and avert this." The Horn of Africa has suffered 4 consecutive failed rainy seasons and is experiencing its worst drought in 4 decades. A climate shock exacerbated by ongoing conflict and price rises caused by the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Across the whole of East Africa, 89 million people are now considered acutely food insecure by the World Food Program, a number that has grown by almost 90% in the last year. Is Ned the Netherlands? The king issues you a bike when you're born. That's pretty neat. The Netherlands have a king, but the government is a bikearchy. There we go. That's what I was hoping for. I support bikearchies, I guess. In 2011, Somalia experienced a famine that killed more than 250,000 people, mostly children, but Sanford said many of the people she met said the conditions now were even worse. We've genuinely failed as an international community that we have allowed this situation to get to the extent it is at the moment. In 2011, we vowed as a community that we would never let this happen again, and yet we've failed in that promise, she added. I'd point out that because humanitarian aid doesn't generate any revenue, most capitalist countries are not really in the business of doing stuff like that. So it's really sad. They say inadequate funding has hampered efforts to learn from the famine. We're seeing children dying before our eyes, seeing populations have lost livelihoods. It's not that we didn't learn the lessons of 2011. There are a lot of very good learning from that crisis. Just we haven't been able to implement it to the extent required because of a lack of funding. Hey, welcome, Derek. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome, welcome indeed. And it's the 508th live show. All right. And Adam D. And Ice303. Hello, hello. All right. So that's part of the sadness. This guy...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
In the ear. But I've got three assault stories, or I guess they're like... There's two assault stories and then a women's rights story. So just... Heads up. 1 second. So, here's your warning.
Excuse me.
Resistance is futile.
Chinese man jailed for sexual assault of Alibaba employee on work trip. A client of Chinese e-commerce firm Alibaba has been sentenced to 18 months in jail for sexually assaulting one of its female employees on a work trip. Court in the eastern city of Jinan heard the woman had been forced to drink alcohol before the assault. The woman was later fired by Alibaba after she made her allegations public. Her case has made headlines and sparked much comment, highlighting to the harassment Chinese women face in the workplace. The vast majority of sexual assault cases do not make it to court in China. Fewer still result in convictions. While there has been sympathy for the victim, there's also been criticism of her on social media for getting drunk. There's condemnation, too, of the country's office drinking culture and Alibaba's handling of the case. It's very frustrating, indeed. There's a lot of misogyny and hate and a lot of these... it's very frustrating because a lot of governments are old and they're based in this archaic patriarchal ideals that just don't translate. And they need to be... You got to keep working on them or else... You end up in weird ways, I guess. Anyway, I'm just, like, mad about this now. In December, it emerged that the woman had been fired by Alibaba, saying that she spread falsehoods and damaged the reputation of Alibaba. The client, named Zhang Guo, who had been in custody for nearly a year, has about 8 months left to serve on his sentence. Jinan Huayan District People's Court found him guilty of forcible indecency, sexually assaulting the victim against her will while she was drunk, state media outlet The Global Times reported. X1 points out a large share of people in jail are there for wrong sex behavior. Yeah. Oh, cool. If you got a Steam Deck, I see in comms somebody has a Steam Deck. That's pretty cool. I would like one. I think it would be fun. I don't play a lot of intense games. I play simulator games that need a lot of CPU and RAM, though. Not a lot of graphics power, though. All right, next story. France to investigate rape allegations against Minister Zaccaropoulou. French prosecutors said on Wednesday they're investigating a junior minister in President Emmanuel Macron's government after two allegations of rape were brought up against her. The allegations go back to when Chrysoula Zaccaropoulou, who is now State Secretary for Development, Francophonie and International Partnerships, still worked as a gynecologist, according to French magazine Marianne. One complaint was lodged May 25th, and the investigation opened 2 days later. prosecutors said. The second complaint was filed on June 16th. Greece-born Zakaparolo, 46, joined the government of Prime Minister Elizabeth Bourne in May, having been a member of the European Parliament for the previous 3 years. She gained prominence in 2015 by campaigning for greater public awareness of endometriosis, together with actress Julie Gayet, who this year married former French President François Hollande. Zakaparolo was strongly involved in the UN's COVAX coronavirus vaccine rollout effort and has spoken out in favor of women's reproductive rights. They're not the first rape allegations to shadow Macron's government and come at a time of political difficulty for the president after he failed to retain a majority in parliamentary elections. So, I'll let you know more whenever we find out. So, we'll keep on and moving. One last traumatic story here. This one isn't about assault, though. It is a women's rights story. A U.S. woman is reportedly left traumatized after Malta Hospital refuses life-saving abortion. Doctors have denied an American woman on holiday in Malta a potentially life-saving abortion, despite saying her baby had a zero chance of survival after she was admitted to hospital with severe bleeding in her 16th week of pregnancy. Despite an extreme risk of hemorrhage and infection, doctors at the Mater Dei Hospital in Mcida told Andrea Prudente, Prudente, that they would not perform a termination because of the country's total ban on abortion. Prudente and her husband are seeking a medical transfer from Malta to the UK, which they say is their only option due to the risk to her life. They claim medical staff were uncooperative in their attempts to leave and in sharing medical records with the couple's insurance company. "I just want to get out of here alive," Prudente told The Guardian from her hospital room in Malta's capital. I couldn't in my wildest dreams have thought up a nightmare like this. Activists in Malta say the case has alarming echoes of the treatment of Savita Halappanavar, who died of sepsis in an Irish hospital in 2012 after doctors refused a request to terminate her pregnancy when she began a miscarriage at 17 weeks due to the abortion ban that was in place in Ireland then. So, very troubling. Prudente said she was desperate to get off the island and receive appropriate medical care, but also wanted to raise awareness of the situation in Malta to prevent others suffering in the way that she had. "I don't want this to happen to more people," she said. So very troubling indeed. We'll go ahead and play a song here. We're a little late, so this will be a short one, but I've been trying to organize my songs better, get my music library cleaned up. Not quite where I want it to be yet, but I at least can sort by time and then pick something from there. So, here's a song. Like to hear it? Here it go. Da 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 da. Oh, it's not going out of the right speaker. One sec. This is an April March song called Knee Socks.
The girls in their knee socks, they all got it made. Just walking and whistling in the sun and the shade. They haven't been shown yet how love can behave. They're happy-go-lucky like theirs is a game. The boat's in the harbor, they're never alone. The sea licks them all day and makes them her own. They don't think of salt
A non-radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to a non-radio powered by SDF. And SDF, that's powered by you. Talking to you, Bob Junkman, and everyone else in comm and hanging around. Thank you so much and appreciate it. Stick around. In just 5 minutes is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, a show that happens every damn day, every goddamn day, depending on how you hail it. That is a fun, fun show, so you definitely want to check that out. It's coming up, like I said, in just a few minutes. We've got a wrap-up of some more headlines. I've got a few stories I think you need to know about. But shout-out Indicom. And I did throw out a burp there with a cool effect. I thought it was fun. I hope you liked it. and Adam D, hello. Yeah. It's very true. All right. So let's keep moving. All right. So here's the headlines that you need to know about. From the Straits Times, antibiotic-resistant typhoid from Asia is spreading worldwide. Treatment-resistant typhoid, originating mostly from South Asia, has springboarded across borders almost 200 times in the past 3 decades, according to new research that underscores the increasing global threat of infections that can evade antibiotics. Between 2014 and 2019, scientists sequenced the genomes from 3,489 cases of S. typhi, the bacteria that causes typhoid fever and kills over 100,000 people a year. Data from 4 high-burden nations, Bangladesh, India, Nepal, and Pakistan, were combined with an analysis of 4,169 similar samples from more than 70 countries over a 113-year period, making it the largest study of its kind. Can you imagine? It's a study 113 years long. The findings published in The Lancet Microbe showed that while resistant to first-line treatments generally declined across South Asia, global issues remained. The number of strains able to overpower macrolides and quinolones, two important type of antibiotics, climbed sharply and frequently spread to other countries, the study found. For years, scientists have beaten the drum about rising cases of deadly bugs that can survive treatment with potent antibiotics. Drug-resistant diseases killed more people than HIV or malaria in 2019. So it's very scary, but just a heads up. A Russian oil refinery near the Ukraine says it was hit by a drone attack. The refinery's management says operations were suspended after a drone attack targeted infrastructure. And the tiny mites that have sex on our faces have a problem. Exfoliate, moisturize, and SPF every day are the standard in most people's skin care routine. But what about those poor cleaning mites like Demodex folicolorum that spend their entire life living deep in our faces? At night, the 0.3 millimeter long organisms leave the pores to find a new skin follicle, meet a partner, and mate. But a new study has found the mites could be facing a problem as their DNA is eroding, meaning they are close to extinction. And if you're rushing to the bathroom, grabbing all the face wash you own, and scrubbing every inch of your skin, you won't get very far. They live too deep in your skin to ever be washed out. If it gives you some comfort, though, more than 90% of us are host to these mites and have provided them a home since birth as they're passed on during breastfeeding. Dr. Alejandro Parodi of the University of Reading co-authored the study. So, gross, but also, oh man, how disturbing. Here's a nice picture of the mite. And that's all the time we got. Please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And yeah, we are a bunch of microbes and tiny organisms controlled by our brain robot at the top. So good luck. We're all meat mechs, similar to Attack on Titan. All right. Take it easy. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee. See you tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow.
6, 5.